the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next half hour as we bring you another beautiful song today and continue with our new series on Bible prophecy as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today, looking in several different scriptures, so get your Bibles out if you can and follow along. And speaking of Bibles, if you're looking for a good Bible for yourself or a gift or whatever, remember that we have the Scofield Reference Bible in several different versions, even a large print for those of us like me who are getting harder to see. So call us or write us, contact us to find out all the Bibles that we have. But right now, let's hear, Oh, How I Love Jesus, and then Dr. Green.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study today. Honor thy word, the precious name of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. Save the lost, reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, strengthen believers, and we'll give God the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, when I left the radio, I read these verses. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now I said, there is no point in us studying the birth of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, the millennium, and the things that will occur in the future if we do not settle the fact that the Bible is the infallible, unalterable word of the living God. And so I have read several scriptures up to this point that I cannot repeat today. But I want to say that in studying Bible prophecy, we have four persons to deal with, four persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God manifest in three persons, and then the fourth person is the devil or Satan, the archenemy of man. Then there are three places that we deal with: heaven, hell, and this earth. Four persons, three places. Then there are three classes of people that we deal with as we study Bible prophecy. We read in 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense to the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. There is no way for anyone to understand Bible prophecy if they do not recognize the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of the Living God. Three classes, three groups. And then there are three kinds of language in the Bible. Three kinds: figurative, symbolic, and literal. Now, what do I mean by figurative language? For instance, Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." The Bible says, "Harden not your heart." Now, that's figuratively speaking. Let the dead bury the dead. When the man said, "I'll follow you, but let me first go bury my father," Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Now, what did he mean? He meant let the spiritually dead people bury the dead folks physically. Now, if you are alive spiritually, you come and follow me and let the sinners back home bury your dead father. That's figuratively speaking. Then harden not your heart. Of course, you cannot literally harden your heart, but if you keep on rejecting Jesus, then that makes the heart hard or dull of hearing, and you do not, in other words, every time a person is impressed that they should be saved and they reject the Lord, it is a little bit easier to reject him the next time. So we have figurative language, and then we have symbolic. For instance, in the book of Daniel, Daniel saw four wild beasts. Now, they were symbolic of four nations. And in Daniel 2, we have the image. And, of course, there in that image we saw, I mentioned yesterday and also the day before, the complete history of the Gentiles from start to finish. Now, symbolic, four wild beasts. And then, of course, in the book of Revelation, we saw Jesus, or we see Jesus as we read chapter 1, standing in the midst of the candlesticks. And that's symbolic. Now then, we have literal language. When the Bible says that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, that is not figuratively speaking. That is not symbolic. It is literal. Jesus was literally conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was literally born of the Virgin Mary, and he was and is literally the Son of Jehovah, the Son of God. So we must face this as we study Bible prophecy. And then we must avoid, now listen, as we study Bible prophecy, we must avoid misinterpretation. We must not misinterpret the Bible. No man, I read the scriptures, 2 Peter 1, 19, 20, and 21. No scripture is of private interpretation. No man has any right to privately interpret the word of God. I have no right to say, this is what I believe. The only way that we can interpret scripture is to compare scripture with scripture, spiritual things with spiritual things, and let God speak to us as the Holy Ghost enlightens us and directs us. So we must avoid misinterpretation. We must avoid misapplication. You must not apply scripture where it is not to be applied. You cannot take scripture out of its setting, and that's dislocation. We must avoid misinterpretation, misapplication, and dislocation. Beloved, it is wrong, it is sinful to take a verse of scripture out of its setting to prove a religious point. And that's done today, oh, so many, many times. Men take scripture out of its setting to prove a religious point, to defend a religious point. It's wrong. It's not right. Now, for instance, we read in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You'll find that in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, listen to me very carefully as I make a statement. I'm a Baptist. I believe pure Baptist doctrine. Now, you underline that word pure. I do not believe everything that Baptists believe. I believe some things that Methodists believe. I don't believe everything Methodists believe. I believe some things that Presbyterians believe. I don't believe everything Presbyterians believe. I believe some things that the Pentecostal people believe, but I don't believe all that they believe and preach. I believe most of the Baptist doctrine, but I don't believe all Baptist doctrine. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe every word in this Bible. I believe every word in this Bible. But I'll tell you what I can't do. I cannot read God's words to Abraham when God said, Abraham, get up and leave your father's house and leave your country and go to a land that I'll show you. Now, God didn't say, Oliver Green, pack your suitcase and leave Greenville, South Carolina, and leave your daddy's home and go to a place that I'll show you. God didn't say that to me. But I'll tell you what God did say. On the backside of my daddy's farm, 36 years ago, God said to me, not in an audible voice. No, I've never heard God speak in an audible voice. But God has spoken to me from His Word, and God has spoken to me through the Holy Spirit, and God said to me on the backside of my daddy's farm, I was down on my face in a broom sage field on the backside of my daddy's farm praying, and God said to me, I want you to preach my word. Now, at that time, I did not know whether God wanted me to be an evangelist or a pastor or a missionary or just a full-time Christian worker. I didn't know what God wanted me to be. But I know that God said to me through the Spirit, I know that God said, I want you to preach the word. And I've been preaching the Word of God for 36 years. Now listen, dearly beloved. Listen what I'm saying to you. God called Noah to build an ark. God said, Abraham, get up and get out of your country. But God didn't say that to me. God didn't tell me to leave Greenville. I've left Greenville many times. God didn't tell me to leave the United States and go to South America. God tells some people to do that. So I'm saying that you cannot take Scripture out of its setting. You cannot take Scripture that God clearly gives to an individual and apply it to yourself and do what God told that individual to do. Now, I tell you what I can do. I can read Genesis 12, where God said to Abraham, get up and get out of your country and go where I'll show you. I'll show you the land. I'll direct you and I'll bless you and I'll make you a great nation. And I'll bless them that bless you, and through you all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, I can read that scripture, and I can profit from the scripture. But God didn't say to Oliver Green, leave your daddy's house, leave your daddy's state, leave your daddy's county, leave your daddy's country, and go to a country I'll show you. Now, He didn't say that to me. He called me to preach the Word of God, and I've been trying by the grace of God to faithfully preach the Word of God these years that I've been in the ministry. God told Noah to build an ark, but God didn't tell me to build an ark. And if I went out here on the hillside and started building an ark, I would be the joke of the age, because God doesn't want me to build an ark. God wants me to study. God wants me to rightly divide the Word of truth, and God wants me to preach the truth. All right, now then that leads me to the next question. That leads me to, and I must answer it from the Word of God. There's no other place to find the answer. And it's right here alongside the scripture that I've just read. How much of the Bible is God-breathed, God-dictated, verbally inspired? How much of it? I'll let the Bible answer. And I said, I believe 2 days ago, a mother wrote to me and said, what can I give my boy to prove to his, the fellows with whom he is associated that there is a God? Now, here's the answer. If you want to know how much of the Bible is the Word of God, here's the answer. And if you won't believe this, then there is no way on this earth for me to prove to you that the Bible is the Word of God. Now listen carefully. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration. And in the Greek language, it reads, all Scripture is God-breathed, God-dictated. Now listen. Now listen to me very carefully. These men, the Apostle Paul, did not have an impression. He did not go into a trance or an ecstasy and write 2 Timothy. Beloved, God Almighty dictated the words to Paul, and Paul wrote them down. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart, soul, mind, strength, and being. I believe God Almighty said, Paul, write, and Paul wrote, and God told him what to write. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine. You don't need to read any church books of doctrine. You don't need to read any book except the Bible if you want to know what Bible doctrine is concerning God, concerning Jesus, concerning the Holy Ghost, concerning the devil. If you want to know the Bible doctrine concerning heaven, hell, and the earth, if you want to know the Bible doctrine concerning anything that has to do with God, man, the earth, heaven, hell, or anything, if you want to know Bible doctrine, the only place to find pure Bible doctrine is in the Bible. You can't go to religion. You cannot trust religions. You cannot trust men. You cannot trust ministers. You cannot trust evangelists. You'll just have to go to the Word of God if you want a message you can trust. Now you say, Brother Green, can I trust you? I am not infallible. If I know my heart, I would not preach a lie for $100 million. If I know my heart, I'd rather die than to preach a lie. If I know my heart, and if I'm in my right mind, I had rather drop dead right now and go on to my reward than to mishandle the Word of God and cause somebody to spend eternity in hell. God forbid that I ever preach one word to satisfy myself or someone. God help me to preach always all that I preach to the glory of God and from the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now that's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now you say, Brother Green, what do you mean? God breathed and God dictated. I mean exactly what I said. Now, of course, you know I could never read the entire book of Leviticus, but you turn in your Bible to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It's the third book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus, I read verse 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them. Now, my dearly beloved, Moses didn't have the Bible. Moses did not have the written word of God. We do. God Almighty spoke to Moses just like I'm speaking to you. Jehovah said, listen, and Jehovah called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, and God said to Moses, God said, speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, and God spoke. Now, and you read on Leviticus, you'll find again and again throughout the book of Leviticus, God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, these five books were penned down by Moses, and God dictated these words to Moses, and Moses wrote them down. Now listen, God not only speaks, but God writes. God writes. Where do you get that, Mr. Green? I'm going to read it to you right now. In Exodus chapter 31, Exodus 31, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai. When God finished talking to Moses, when God finished communing with Moses. When God finished talking to Moses on Mount Sinai, God gave him two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written, W-R-I-T-T-E-N. You know what that spells? W-R-I-T-T-E-N. That spells written with the, F-I-N-G-E-R, finger of Jehovah. Now, you believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. God Almighty was in the beginning, and God is everlasting, God will always be, and you'll face him. So it doesn't make any difference what you think about God. It doesn't make any difference what you believe about God. It doesn't make any difference what you believe about the Bible. It doesn't make any difference what you say about the Bible. The Bible will stand, and God Almighty will stand face to face with you, and you'll stand face to face with God. So it doesn't matter if you laugh at what I'm going to say. God Almighty wrote on stone with his finger. And Moses carried the two tables down to the children of Israel. All right? Look at Exodus 32. Look at Exodus 32 and verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. These two flat stones were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other side they were written. Now watch it. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon tables. Now, God wrote with his finger upon tables of stone. And it doesn't make any difference what the liberals and the modernists and the freethinkers, the atheists, and all the rest of them say about it. God Almighty wrote with his finger. God Almighty spoke to Moses, and of course he spoke to other men also. And I leave you today with these verses. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Now that's John 1:1 and John 1:14. So Jesus was God in flesh, and everything that Jesus said was the saying of Almighty God. I'll read to you tomorrow. The words of Jesus when he said, the words I speak are given me of my Father. Now, it doesn't matter what you believe about the Bible. The Bible got here before you did, and it'll be here when you're gone. So, if we are to accept Bible prophecy, we must first accept the Bible as the unalterable, infallible, God-breathed Word of God. If God said it, we can stand on it. And if God didn't say it, we don't have any hope. We have no hope if God did not say what this Bible says. But hallelujah, God said it. Father, honor thy word today and save precious souls. Strengthen precious believers. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green speaking to you again, and I have a question for you. Not counting sermons that you listen to in person in the church or revival, not counting those, would you rather listen to sermons or would you rather read sermons? Well, in this gift offer for this week, you have the opportunity to do both. Yes, in our gift offer E, we have a series of messages preached by Dr. Green on CD and a book of sermons by Dr. Green. And we call these two items together, we call it Gift Offer E, E as in excellent. And this is available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $25 or more. Please send more. If you can, your donations are totally necessary to keep this program on the air. We are broadcast somewhere 7 days a week. So we are trying to get the gospel out as much as we can. And so all you need to do is ask for Offer E and send a donation of at least $25. You must ask for the offer to receive it, because so many of our listeners send in donations and do not ask for any literature in return. But if you send your donation of at least $25 and ask for Offer E, I'm going to send you first the series of messages, The Who, What, and Why of Salvation. We just finished this series on our Saturday broadcast, 17 great messages in all, and we have put these on 6 compact discs and housed them in a very nice holder for you so that you can listen to them over and over, and I know that you will with your Bible open. Then we have the book by Dr. Green, Gospel Hour Sermons, a hardback book, 132 pages long, 7 messages in all, such as Rocks, Rags, and Leaves. The sermon is in our CDs, Who, What, Why. Then Ye, I, and This. Also Facts, Fears, and Tears, and so on. So to get all of this material, just ask for Gift Offer E and send your gift of at least $25. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.